So there are some folks in the Bible that you really want to meet. Jesus, of course, tops the list, at least among the humans in the Bible. There are so many questions he could clear up for us. And it would be pretty cool just to hang out with him. Samson, maybe? Judith? Deborah? St. Peter, for sure. Maybe a hand of poker with Solomon or a heart-to-heart chat with Mary. But James, the author of the epistle that we've been reading from, you really want to get in front of him and say in your most parental voice, "Explain yourself, young man." Just what on earth is he talking about? The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. You don't say, James. Now, clearly, James is concerned about some of the things the members of his community have been saying. And the people he's concerned about seem to have been in the role of teachers, since he begins this passage saying that not many of them really should be teachers. But beyond that, his meaning is a bit murky. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. Not entirely factual, and a bit, shall we say, hyperbolic, that. And without some context, without knowing what crisis James was responding to, what culture and community he was confronting, it's hard to guess what could have elicited such strong and strange language. Excuse me. But there are some clues in the text of the epistle that hint at what James might say for himself if he were standing before us. Scholars can tell us that the style and the content of James' letter indicate that it was certainly written for Jewish Christians and may even have been a Christian revision of a text that was originally entirely Jewish. Tradition also associates the letter with one of the two men named James in the Gospels and Acts. Both of them were active in Jerusalem in the first century, which supports that Jewish connection. In the passage we read today, James is not disputing a point of doctrine. He does that elsewhere in the letter in ways that almost got it excluded from the Bible. But here, the problem seems to be that among the notoriously contentious community of Christians in Jerusalem, some of the teachers are bad-mouthing other teachers. With the same tongue, James says, they bless the Lord and Father while cursing those who are made in the likeness of God. How can one who claims to speak for the community and for God say such poisonous things about another human being? And with that, maybe James doesn't seem quite so alien to us. How people who are leaders of a Christian community can say some of the terrible things they say is a pretty contemporary issue. My Facebook feed today is full of links to clips of pastors saying outrageous things about other pastors, about other Christians, and about other people in general. Last Sunday, we heard James argue that faith without works is dead. This week, he's talking about the terrible destruction that can be wreaked by works, or at least words, without faith. And our gospel lesson today is similarly concerned about words. Jesus does not ask the disciples a theological question. He doesn't challenge them to define his nature, human or divine. Instead, he asks them to tell him what people say about him and who the disciples say he is. And in Peter, we actually find the personification of James's problem. On the one hand, Peter professes that Jesus is God's anointed one, the Messiah, and with the same tongue, he rejects the account Jesus gives of the consequences of being God's anointed one. To which Jesus famously says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," which maybe sounds a bit like Jesus is taking a turn at doing what James warned about, praising God but saying terrible things about the children of God. But that's not really what's going on here. You need to understand that in Jesus' day, that word Satan, Satanos in Greek, was an ordinary word. It meant adversary in the legal sense, the attorney for the other side. If you were in court, you would address the attorney for the side that was suing you as Satanos. That would be the word for his job. So a better translation of Jesus' words to Peter would probably be something like, "You're on the wrong side of this case, Mr. Prosecutor." Jesus wants Peter to get behind him in the modern sense of being on his side, going the same direction that he's going. And getting behind Jesus and taking up your cross and following Jesus again brings us back to words. "Those who are ashamed of me and my words," Jesus says, "of them I will be ashamed." It really all comes down in the end to Jesus' question to the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" Who do you tell the world Jesus is? Who do you tell the world Jesus is? The important question is not, what do you believe in your inmost heart about Jesus, but what do you publicly profess? It seems to me that many of the most vocal Christians in the world these days are standing on the wrong side of Jesus right now. They're advocating hate and exclusion and war, all the things that Jesus teaches directly against, specifically in Scripture. And they claim somehow to be doing it in the name of Jesus. Teachers in the church are saying hateful things about those who are made in the likeness of God. And the necessary answering voice, the one that says aloud and not just to your TV screen, "No, God is the God of love. Jesus lived and died and rose to unite us, not divide us. The children of God are not to be cursed or mocked or shunned or despised, but loved, welcomed as family, served as worthy." That answering voice is not heard so much in the public square. Not, I think, because there aren't many who believe it, but because, whether out of modesty or decorum or anxiety or complacency, far too few who do believe it are willing to say so out loud. To a world that is aching to hear of God's love and forgiveness, that is literally dying to be loved, that is hungry for community and kindness and welcome, to that world, who do you say Jesus is? Amen.